Welcome to Victory Family Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. For sermon notes and videos relating to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
Amen. We're going to get right into the Word of God this morning as you worship the Lord with your giving. We're starting a new series, but I want to make mention to you this Wednesday night. In fact, from now on Wednesday nights, we just finished the New Testament series last Wednesday. From now on Wednesday nights, come expecting for one thing we're shooting for you to experience the power of God and the presence of God on Wednesday nights. This weekend we're going to be ministering to the sick and praying for the sick, believing that the same Jesus that the Scripture said, the same yesterday, today, and forever, shows up. How many of you know He's alive? Praise God, He's alive, and we're going to believe God. Michelle and I are going to be praying for people to receive the healing power of God in their bodies on Wednesday night. So if you need healing, come Wednesday night and bring anyone that does. We're just going to trust God to manifest His healing power because we serve a faithful God. Also, how many of you know who Marilyn Hickey is? Marilyn's going to be here next weekend. And so don't miss that. It'll be fun. You'll be blessed. She is actually a family in our church, was going to be in church next Saturday night with Marilyn. She's friends with her family. She was just going to come to church with them. And I thought, well, we can't have that. And so she's going to be coming, and we'll have her minister the whole weekend. She's likely to do three separate services or messages. And so she just turned 80. And incredible lady. You won't believe that when you see her, and that she her energy. And she's just getting back from overseas on a missions trip. God has opened significant doors to her ministry into the Muslim world. And so she's, I'm telling you, incredible person. You don't want to miss Marilyn Hickey next weekend. This week we're starting a series, Now Faith Is. We're talking about the subject of faith in God. What does it mean? What is it? How does it work? We're going to take 5 weeks. Today we're going to introduce it. See, the subject Now Faith Is, because now sometimes you say the word faith, people think of a lot of different things. They think of, well, what church do you go to? Or now we're not talking about faith in a generic sense. We're talking about faith as it pertains to faith in God. Now, the reality of the faith life we want to talk about is this, is that when you walk and are living by faith, it's in the now. Religion has no difficulty with God in the past. Religion will press God into the future. But a living faith, a real relationship with God that's based on everyday life Christianity, not a weekend Christianity, not a religious facade, but a real faith is now. It's God showing up in my life, your life, no matter how desperate or broken it may be, and having God show up to do a great work in your life. Faith by definition, let's just simply define what Bible faith is, and it's very, very simple. Bible faith is simply defined. It is simply when your beliefs have been formed by the Word of God, and those beliefs govern your life. The fact of it is, faith in general, faith can be very neutral, positive, or negative. Faith is simply this: whatever beliefs govern your life, that's what you have faith in. You say, well, all Christians, I have faith in God. Well, yes and no. Faith in God is when what you believe about what God says about your life, not what you feel about your life, what you see about your life, but what God says about your life governs your choices. That's where you'll determine what you have faith in. I would tell you this, if you're married today, the way you have lived your marital life is not based on what you hope for or wish for. It's not even based on what God wished for your marriage. It's based on what you believed about marriage. What you believe about husbands, what you believe about wives, what you believe about men, what you believe about women. If it's not shaped by the Word of God, it's going to govern. The other things can govern your life. Look, I've been in ministry 30 years plus, been at a lot of weddings, met with a lot of grooms before a lot of weddings. And I've never had a groom look at me when I say, how you doing? He looks at me and says, man, I'm going to have a ball and chain the rest of my life. Man, got my old lady over there. No one does that. On the other side, you don't have mommy putting, you know, the dress and dad out in the hall crying and, honey, how you doing? Oh, he's such an idiot. You know, well, Jesus, what am I doing? He's an idiot. Oh, I hate him. They come up on a marriage altar. They make promises. The promises never go like this. I promise to be selfish. I promise to think of me first. I promise to think of you, well, maybe. And if you're nice to me, I'll be nice to you. If you're not, treat you like dirt. So help me. No, we make all these promises, but people leave the platform and they live their life based on what they believe. And a lot of us go into marriage pretty messed up. Two messed up people get married, you have a messed up life. Jesus can restore broken people. He can restore broken marriages. He is a God of mercy and kindness and grace. We have got to learn to understand that what we believe governs our life. Now, we've experienced an election this past Tuesday. Some of you are happy, some of you are sad. It's the nature of elections. Some had what they thought would be the best solution and the candidate of your choice, or at least the best candidate of your choice, and it didn't maybe work out the way you wanted it to. And let me say this to you. The fact of it is, as Christians, we've been saying this for 4 weeks prior, we don't put our faith in the government. We don't put our faith in who wins office, whether it's your candidate or not. But the fact of it is, look, I'll be very candid with you. I am terribly disappointed in this aspect because no political figure is going to represent all of your views. Rarely will that ever happen. And yet, I'll be very honest with you. It is terribly disappointing to me that our president does not support traditional marriage or life issues. That is terribly disappointing to me. However, as a Christian, because there's areas of disagreement, there's one thing our president should be able to count on from the church, is that we will honor that office and pray for that man and bless him and speak life over him and pray. The Bible commands us as Christians. See, this is the faith life. You're governed by the word. Is that I pray for my president. I pray that God blesses him and helps him. And yeah, there are a lot of negatives if anybody wins because they're human. And yet there are things that are very positive. I'm thankful that he seems to have a tremendous marriage. Seems to be a tremendous father. And has had a stable relationship with his family. And has a great family life. Well, both candidates offered that. And that's a wonderful thing. But I don't care what they have, good, bad, or ugly. They have every right to expect that the Christians in this nation will pray for them and believe God for them. So be praying for your president. Pray for our president. Pray for all in the executive branch of government. All in the legislative and judicial branches, state, federally, and locally. Pray for them. And believe God, that God will surround them all with godly people and influences so that the scripture said we might lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, and that all men will come to know the gospel or hear the knowledge of the truth. So ultimately, God's word said the reason you want government to be blessed of God is so that the gospel is not impeded or hindered. And so let's be praying for our president. Amen. In fact, I just feel in my heart, let's do that right now. Father, I just lift up to you President Obama. I lift up his family. And I ask you, Lord, to help him, to come alongside him and minister to him. Surround him with people. And move in the lives of the people around him and move in his own life as well. He needs your help like we all need your help. What an amazing and almost terrible responsibility to hold in life. We pray that your grace would surround him and Father God, that righteousness would abound among them and that you would move mightily because you love them and you love our nation. So we speak life over our president and we speak life over the next 4 years as he stands in that office accountable to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank God, thank God, thank God. It's important as Christians that we do the Word of God. But can I say this to you? If we don't like what's going on in government, it's not a failure of government. It's not a failure of the donkey or the elephant. It's a failure of these rooms all over America today. See, we're talking to you about living by faith. Walking the faith life. Now faith is. Every church should be reaching out to people. Can I tell you this? That if every church in America this year won 20% of its membership to Christ, we would be in another great awakening. We would lurch this nation into revival simply by the church being the church. That's all it would take. In fact, if the churches all grew by 20% by winning people to Jesus, it would make the great awakening look like the nation was backslidden. I'm serious. So the power isn't in government. The power is in the church. And yet, now let me say this as well. I've learned in 30 years of doing this, that people that come to church, one, they want to walk with God or they wouldn't be coming. And number two, they want to do something great with their life collectively. And can I tell you that the failure in the church is not in the pew, it's in the leadership of the church. Just like government failure is a leadership failure, so is the failure in the body of Christ. And when I say failure, I know that's a strong word, but let me qualify it. Because so many of us, instead of learning to be governed by what we believe in life, we hesitate. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7 said, we walk by faith and not by sight. Galatians 3:11, the second part of the verse said, the righteous will live by faith. This is the way you live. Governed by what you believe. See, the action of faith in our life can be either positive or negative. It's based on who or what formed those beliefs. And so I would suggest to you that in this church, for example, and I have pastors call me because of the growth of this church in 19 years has been significant. Pastors will call me all over the country and even parts of the world, and they'll want to say, John, can you explain to me what happened here? And what they're really asking is this. What is it special about you that I don't have? What is it that was unique there that if I mix those ingredients, that it will happen where I'm at? And here's what I've learned about talking to people in leadership in the church. That they pray about things they shouldn't be praying about. Because, you know, every time we as a church have launched forward to aggressively reach people, the circumstances around us collapsed. When we had a handful of people back on Mystic Pine Trail, and we were buying 64 acres of land up here on Route 19, we were going to have to develop the land, and it ended up, I mean, literally 2.5 million of land and 3 million of site work, a $750,000 traffic light. When I tell you it was impossible, and an $8 million building, and just a small church. I mean, at that time we probably had 700-800 people, probably about 700 when we started the process. And can I tell you this? Those 700 people had every reason in the world to say, this is nuts. You got to be out of your mind. No one, this is crazy. In fact, I was working with a consultant that was walking us through some of the steps. He finally sat me down. He said, and I'm explaining what we're going to do. He said, this is not possible. I said, sir, I said, please don't take this offensively, but we pay you by the hour you're done right now. I can get someone to tell me no for free. So no offense, you're fired. I said, let's talk, how's your kids? But we're done working together. I don't need anybody to tell me no. I can get no for free. I'm not telling you to tell me how to get it, that what's possible. I want to know the steps to take, because I'm taking some steps. Amen. And he said, well, you know, I just want you to know that this is not possible, and he gave me all the demographic blah, blah, blah. And you know what I learned about God? He doesn't listen to consultants. Amen. I mean that. And our church lurched and believed God and were governed by a love for people and went ahead and went forward. And right when we were doing our capital campaign where people were going to bring in their pledges, and those of you who were back in that day, you remember, a week or two before 9/11 hit. And the nation was in shock. And we were in shock. And many, many, many people would call me and talk to me, and friends would say, John, you aren't doing that building thing now, are you? What are we going to do? You could feel the hesitancy. What are we going to do? And I made this decision. The weekend we got up in church after, I said, let me promise you this. No demon-possessed terrorist is going to direct the church of God. We will go forward, and we'll go forward, and we're going to go faster, and we're going to go broader, because God's God, and we're not going to let some demon-possessed terrorist direct Jesus. But Christians back off. I'll be honest with you. I've never prayed about whether to build a building or not. And I can't tell you how many churches go into fasting and prayer mode like they're doing something supernatural. It is brick and mortar. All right, that doesn't sound very spiritual. All right, let me ask you a question. You live in a 500 square foot studio apartment. It's awesome. It's just you and your wife. And there's just a little place for the bathroom, and then it's one room. Kitchen, and it's so quaint. Friends come over and they go, this is so cute. And it is. And it's just the two of you. And you figured out where every little niche goes. And it's just perfect. And your wife now is pregnant with triplets. Let me ask you a question. How many of you are praying about whether to move or not? You don't pray about moving. And if you do stay there, I can tell you one thing, you're never having more kids. That'll get you on the way home. Oh, yeah. Okay, you get that? All right. Because you're out of space. Jesus said, go into all the world. Never said stop. And Christians are praying about going. We're just praying about whether we should go reach people. Say your prayers. Go reach people. I've learned something about God. I've learned something about the God we serve. He honors His people when they act on His word. Every miracle financially we've ever had as a church, every miracle we've ever had in our life has come after we obeyed and honored His word. So how do we get this faith in our life that's going to govern our life to be able to receive and walk in the provision of God? Romans 10:17 says this. So then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You've got to have the word in your heart. You've got to know what God says about that given area of life. As pastors, and I mean this sincerely, there are so many awesome people in the church, and they're waiting for a pastor who, or a leadership team that'll say, we're going to go after people. And I've had people say, what if you fail? What if the church goes under because you were too aggressive? I mean this before Jesus with all my heart. I have no problem standing before God saying, God, forgive me for going too far for reaching people. But since you died on a cross, I figured I couldn't do anything more extreme than that. So I was going to go after it with everything in me. Somehow I made a mistake, but I'm fine with that, just so it was for people. And I found out something about God. When people live that way, He'll move heaven, earth, and hell beneath. And He'll get the stuff you need to you. Because He's faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful. Faith comes by hearing, not by asking for it, praying, Lord, give me faith. It's unscriptural to pray for faith. Faith comes when you hear. And when you find out what does God's word say, and then I get persuaded and I live by it. See, a person who has learned to have faith in God and His word, it will cause you to do some things. It will cause you to be hopeful in all circumstances. When everything around you is pushed back, it will cause you to be hopeful. It will cause you to overcome obstacles of your past experiences. And I don't just mean experiences of perhaps things people have done against you. But you know, some of our stuff, we've shot ourselves in the foot. How many of you have some stuff in your life you're thinking, man, that was just my own stupid. Anybody here? Yeah, raise both hands, feet, right? And sometimes it's terrible. Where you just think, oh, I'm just, man. And you just lower the bar for your life. But when you have a persuasion that's connected to God and not your past, then nothing can stop you. No obstacle can prevent you. It may not be simple. There are some walls you have to walk through. And listen, there are walls in life. No matter, I don't care if it's in your marriage. I don't care if it's in your kids. I don't care if it's in your job, your body, or whatever. You're going to face some walls. And you're going to have to determine whether you're going to obey the wall or obey the God who will knock the wall down. And that's where a person who walks by faith goes into another realm in their life. Living by faith in God's word and living by faith in God will cause you to act in the face of circumstances that are utter contrary to everything else. There'll be 1,000 reasons why it won't work. And yet, if you're persuaded that God is faithful and that God has promised, you'll continue to make action steps. And that's one of the things I've encouraged pastors for years. If it's about people, not about ego or any nonsense like that, but if you're serious about reaching people, and you see that and you go. And you encourage, and let me tell you what I've learned about serving here with the wonderful people in this church. When we built, we're building a 2,400 seater. It's going to be done by the middle or the latest late next summer. And let me tell you, when we started this one, and when we went to go get into the bank situation, the economy tanked. So much so that the banks just said, goodbye, we're not loaning any money to nonprofits. Done. And we were completely on hold. And the conditions to borrow money went from here to here. And I'll tell you, there's obstacles. And those obstacles are real. And yet I've told pastor after pastor, if you'll walk by faith, if you'll just keep going forward, I'm telling you, God's people will do amazing things by the grace of God. They're just waiting for someone to say, no, we're not going to be led by that stuff. We're going to go do the will of God and touch our generation. And in the middle of what was termed the worst economy since the Great Depression, not one person in this church said, let's go backwards. Not one person wrote a letter. We didn't even get one famous anonymous letter. That's supernatural. Now don't tell me that there aren't churches all over America filled with people like you that have a fire in their heart to do something great for God. That someone will just step forward and say, let's go for it. Well, if we fail, we fail. But at least we fail falling forward for people. Rather than sitting in a room waiting to die, singing three hymns to hers, causing the pews to actually start to stink. That's why they call them pews. Oh, yeah, yeah. That was pretty good, huh? Right, that's good right there. Okay, well, that's, I know it was stupid, but it felt good to say it. And we faced a $2 million need that the bank said, unless you have $2 million more in cash, we're not touching you. So what do you do? I don't have $2 million. But I know this much. I serve God. It's not my job to worry. It's not my job to go beat the walls. It's my job. And I'm not a fundraiser. I'm a faith raiser. I'm not going to go, well, you know, if we don't give and make people feel guilty, that's not my job. I'm sitting minding my own business when we have impartation. When Michelle and I are sitting back there talking to Keith Moore before a Monday night service, Keith Moore leans over and said, I see your building's been on hold. What's going on? We never said a word to him. Just said, well, told him the situation I just told you. He said, all right, I'll be praying with you, believing with you. I said, all right, thank you. Wednesday night. Service comes in, he ends the service and says, the Lord dealt with my heart that our ministry is supposed to give $1 million. That was a good service. And he said, and then the rest of y'all are going to cut, and then we need $1 million more. You know, in about 3 or 4 months, we had $2 million in cash. And that building's going up. God's faithful. He's faithful. He is utterly faithful. But you never get to those places. See, there's a person in the Bible that illustrates the walk of faith probably more clearly and in demonstration than maybe anyone I can find. And it was a woman who was sick with an issue of blood in her body for 12 years. She was bleeding for 12 years. Let me read her story to you and just share a little bit about her life. And I want you to leave today encouraged. No matter what you're facing, God can do amazing things in your life. The Bible says in Mark chapter 5, as great crowds were around Jesus, Mark 5 verse 24, so Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. And now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years, and she had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if I only may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, and yet you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him, and told him the truth, the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Now go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Jesus said, what we see in this woman's life was an action of faith. And isn't it interesting? He attributed her being healed or her receiving the miracle to her faith. Yet we can clearly see in the Bible that it was the power of God that healed her. The Bible said when she touched him, what went out of Jesus? Power. So it would be as accurate to say, my power healed you, because that's the fact. But that power was available for everybody in that crowd. And what the 20th century translation, where it says here in the King James or in the New King James or NIV, that he said that power went out of him, or he said, when he said, who touched me, one translation says, who made a demand on my power? This woman's life of faith, Jesus said her faith made her whole. Now, we can see some clear things in this woman's life. The first thing you see in this woman's life, that if you and I are going to live the faith life, if we're going to live the now faith is life, not the weekend Christianity, every day, I'm talking about everyday walk with Jesus stuff. If you're going to live by faith, the first thing you're going to have to do is what this woman did first. She did not give up. And let me tell you, she had some good reasons to give up. And I guess you do too. All of us have reasons to give up. All of us face things in our life and have had things happen to us. Some that are terribly unfair. Some we've made mistakes. You may be sitting in this room and maybe you're separated. Maybe you've gone through a divorce. Maybe you feel so hopeless. Maybe much of it's of your doing. And you just live under this constant cloud. You've kind of almost gotten to the point to where you're like, you know, God, you know, I'm glad you love me and all that stuff, but I'm never going to be one of those people ever again who can live at a level of victory. This woman had every right to feel that way. She had a blood flow in her body, in a female condition, for 12 years. She didn't give up at first. The Bible said she suffered many things of many physicians. So she went to doctor to doctor to doctor, and no one could help her. And the Bible said she suffered through those treatments. And if you know anything about medical history, and I don't know a great deal, but I do know some of the treatments were almost torturous. So evidently they had given her certain treatments that were painful. And so she's been through 12 years of this, doctor after doctor after doctor. She suffered many things of many physicians. And like today, just like then is today, they weren't free. She spent all her money. And she was nothing better, but she got worse. Now, if you're progressively getting sicker for 12 years, how many of you know you can't have a whole lot longer? She's been getting progressively sicker and worse for 12 years. She has tried and exhausted every realm of hope. She spent all of her money. She is now poor. She is now sick and getting worse. And she is hopeless. But she made a decision not to give up. And you're going to have to make that choice. Because everyone in this, listen, there's enough heartache in this room to fill enough bushels of sorrow. Sitting in this room right now are people that were abused when they were kids. Sexually abused, physically abused. I don't have to ask because the statistics, I know it. There are women in this room that have been assaulted sexually that no one may know about. Maybe it was a date rape. I don't know. But I tell you that there's pain all over this room. And when you go into that kind of sorrow and that kind of desperation, you may have lost your job. You may have had been disappointed by a husband or a wife or a father or a mother or the lack of one. Somewhere inside you, a wall comes up and said, it's not for you anymore. That's for other people. And you begin to lower the bar for you what you expect in life. And you may not give up altogether because maybe you have kids and you can't give up because you love your kids. But somewhere in your soul, you take God's best and you just drop it down about 50, 60, 70, 80 degrees. Everyone in this room, every one of us in this room can find areas in our life where we're tempted to do that. And the first thing you're going to do if you're going to be a faith person, you can't give up. I can tell you this, in 19 years of pastoring this church, we have had multiple reasons to give up. And most of them have been connected to just me and her just trying to figure this out. You're doing the best you can, but life's not static. It doesn't just run in a straight line. And things happen and, man, you know, you're just like, I remember one time I prayed. I wasn't just being like, oh, poor me, Jesus prayer. I was serious. I told God about a certain minister who had come out of a certain national ministry who was going into this parachurch ministry. And I thought he would make a great pastor here. I said, Lord, I love this vision and these people. And I'm telling you, he would do 10 times a better job than me in serving these people. Let me stop doing this and let me see if he'll come take this over. And logically, I tell you, in my mind, I still think it was a good move. But God's not looking for perfect people. They don't make them. He's not looking for people with all the qualifications and all the gifts and all the skills. They don't make those people. And the ones who think they are full of pride and God can't use them anyway. He's looking for people who will not base their persuasion and what they governs their life based on them, but based on Him. And this woman refused to give up. The second thing she did was she heard about Jesus. She put herself in a position to hear the truth. You're going to have to, this is very practical, but you must make it a habit in your life to put the Word in your life. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. You have to hear God's Word. You have to put it in you. I'm not just talking about just getting your Bible and reading it every day, which is good, which is important. But I would tell you as well, one of the most practical ways to get the Word in your life every day is by getting CDs or MP, whatever, so your iPhone, iPad, whatever. How many of you, if you don't know how to download something, raise your hand. It's okay. I understand. I still don't know how to download things from the, my iPhone is empty. Because I don't know how to get stuff in it. But I don't use that for what I, the other, so what I do is in, but I got my kids to download stuff in our, iPod. And you go into our bathroom, there's a little radio thing with an iPod sticking in it. You walk in, guess who talked to me this morning before I came to talk to y'all? Keith Moore talked to me this morning. Grace is in places. Keith Moore was talking to me this morning. Yesterday afternoon, guess who talked to Michelle and I for a whole hour? Just us. In fact, we could see her. Beth Moore. Talking about the book of James. We spent an hour watching Beth Moore. She came right in my house, talked to us. Sweetest thing ever done. You just can't imagine somebody that nice. But she did it. Talked to us for a whole hour. Now she'd stare right at the camera. Looked at us. We went, I bet. That's not supernatural. That's a decision. How many of you have a car? How many have a CD player in the car? How many have a connection to one of your I pull out a little list and you plug it in, thing. Your eye thing can plug in, what's it called? Your iPod thing, what's the connector thing called? The connector thing. Audio jack. How many have an audio, plug it in. When you drive, look, talk radio, how's that been working for you lately? I mean, come on, aren't you watching enough of this, enough of that? You're driving, you're about to kill somebody. Put the Word in your heart. It's fine to listen to some music, but put the Word in your heart. I mean, in my car, I've got scripture tapes and Michael Bublé. Because my kids, my girls like them. They get in my car, can I listen to Michael Bublé? I said, put Mikey on. It's okay. Mikey sings in my car some. But Larry Hutton talks to me too. He gives me scripture tapes. Tells me, this is Larry Hutton. How many have a Larry Hutton thing where he does scriptures? 1 Peter chapter 2. Dude's got him a radio voice, you know? And he put the Word in you. You have to decide to get the Word in your heart because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So she refused to give up. She heard what God said about her. And then she did something amazing that very few people do. She let her words agree with what she believed. She said it. If I touch him, I'll be made whole. She didn't say, I hope so, I wonder. Oh, I want Jesus. You know where the song He Touched Me came from? It came from somebody who was standing beside that woman who wouldn't go touch him. She's saying, He touched me like he came with me. He ain't finding her. She had to go find him. She went through a press of crowd. And she pushed through people in a weakened condition. And the Bible said she ended up touching the hem of his garment. So how do you get to the bottom of the man's garment? You got to be on your belly. People are probably knocking her over. She said, if I just touch him, I'm going to be made whole. You got to start saying what God says about you. You got to let your words agree with what God says. If you're going to walk by faith, you can't walk around bad-mouthing your marriage. Bad-mouthing your husband or your wife. We're bleeding for a miracle in our marriage. And the next thing, he's just like an idiot. Jesus, help our marriage. My wife, man, I'm telling you, this woman would make Jesus cuss. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. Lord, help our marriage. Jesus, help our kids, help our kids. These kids are going to end up in prison. Lord, bless our finances. I'll tell you what, if gas goes up one, I'll do is just burn the house down. You can't talk about stuff. See, you've got a person of persuasion says, I'm not going to let this little spot under my nose inside of here called the tongue. It's got to submit to what I believe. And this woman said, I won't give up. I heard what God said about me. It is for me. She said it. And the fourth thing is she did it. She just talked about God. She got up in her weakened condition. Like you and I are going to have to get up in our weakened condition. And she pressed through. And people, I'm sure, pushed her aside. Finally, she just reached up and touched him, and it stopped him in his tracks. People were touching him everywhere. Whoa! Who touched me? And his disciples went. Now, if this were our vernacular today, they'd be like, dude, everybody's touching you. They'd probably be looking at each other and go, feed the guy. Something's going, you know. He's got a little, maybe he's getting dizzy. Who touched you? Everybody's touching you. He said, no, no, no. Somebody made a demand on my power. And the woman came and told him this story. And when Jesus heard these, the way she lived her life, he said, that's faith. That's a persuasion. And that made you whole. So she refused to give up. We see that clearly in the scripture. She heard it. She said it, and then she did it. She acted on it. And I want to tell you, as the pastor of this church, we've been aggressive for 19 years. Michelle and I, all I can do is lead. Let me tell you what I'm grateful for 19 years. People in this church, that when the impossible was there, they just kept fighting and believing and giving and standing and giving and standing and giving and standing. And just this year alone, about 2,000 people will get born again just in this room alone. 2,000 people. Since we built this building, 8,000 people. Oh, man. And can I tell you this? If you're one of those people in the last 6 years that Jesus has changed your life, since this, you found this building here and we being here, let me tell you, you stand on the shoulders of people in that other building that when it looked utterly impossible, they just kept fighting through. They fought life through, not for themselves, for you. They had a building. They had a church. But they weren't content just for their four and no more. They saw you in their future. And now right now we're small. We just have a few thousand people. We're tiny, tiny, tiny. Amen? And now, we're about to launch that forward. And man, all of those new people, all of those marriages that will be restored, all of those people that will be heaven-bound instead of hell-bound, all those that will be baptized and filled with the Spirit, and their marriages put back together, and their kids grow up like these great kids in this church, growing up, seeing, I had a couple, young couple come out, they got engaged, they came out and showed me their engagement ring, and the young man said to me, Pastor John, because this church is why I have the kind of life I do with her. We're going to have a great life. I mean, they're going to walk with Jesus. It's because you make a difference. Jesus makes a difference in lives. Problems that will never come on the horizon for people because they were raised in the nurture and admonition of God because you cared. It matters. You have to go do it. You've got to step out and do it afraid if you have to, but you act in the Word of God and He shows up. And I've watched now for 19 years pastoring this church that we can't outrun God. See, that's a great vision. It's nothing close to the one He has for people. God so loved His vision's the world. And our part is this region. And we're going to do our part to minister with other churches and other Christian organizations to bring the gospel to our world. It's an awesome thing, isn't it? It's a great privilege that we have. She acted, and then the next thing that happened, she felt it. Guys, she felt it. See, this isn't just about all theory. You get to feel some stuff. She didn't just talk about it. She didn't just act upon it. She got her miracle. And can I tell you this? There's nothing in the world to compare to when you know God Himself has changed something in your life. Nothing. There's not a close second. And let me tell you what's even more significant than that. When you know that because you chose to honor God, somebody else's life was changed. When I tell you, nothing on the planet, you could give me the world with a fence around it, and it wouldn't even be in the list. That when you hear of what Jesus has done for people, when I think of 19 years of just she and I starting this church with our son, who was 9 months old at the time, who now is in college 1,000 miles away. Some of the pain you go through, the tough, the uphill days. And let me tell you though, to know that thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people are heaven bound. And if you didn't make the step of simple obedience, if you didn't take your simple, inadequate life, and when you just stepped into His power, and He did something and you step back, whoa, it's It's like the Lion King and Simba. You remember when Simba and how many of you watched the Lion King? If you have kids, if you're grandparents, you watch it too. Watch it again. It's awesome. And Simba, the hyenas are going to get him. They're going to eat him alive because he's in the wrong place. And he starts doing the growl. And they're laughing at him. And the third time, he does it. And this huge roar comes out of him, but it's his father. And they're like, they look at him. And the father comes and cleans up with all. He beats on some hyenas and takes Simba home. You're right. When I stand up and you stand up, here's what it feels like. Jesus shows up and you get, roar. I don't know if you ever heard a lion roar in person. It goes right through you. He is called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Let me tell you something. You might feel like a pussycat, but he's a lion. Amen? And the greater one's on the inside of you. And she felt it. The last thing she did, she told it. She came and told him all the truth. And it's right to tell people what Jesus has done for you. It's not bragging. It's glorying in Him. There's nothing good in you or me. If there's any good in you and me, it's in Him. But He has a plan for your life. And I want to encourage you in this series. We're going to experience the presence of God. We're going to experience the power of God. These Wednesday nights, you come expecting for God's power to show up in your life. He is the God of the now, now, now. Right here in the here and rotten. Right now He wants to show up in your life and my life. He wants to do a great work in your life. He can turn anything around if we will learn to yield to Him. It's through the action of faith that we get from being in the condition this woman was to telling of His glory. And it is a fight. There's a crowd to press through, but press through it. Honor God. Walk with Jesus. Put the Word in your heart. Say what God says about you. Act on the Word. And let's experience the glory of the Lord together. Amen? Praise God. Let's pray together. Father, I thank You for Your great grace upon every heart, upon every life in this place. Nothing, absolutely nothing is impossible with You. And Lord, I ask You today to lift people, no matter how they've come into this room, no matter what they're facing, no matter what may be going on in their world, that You'll lift them, that You'll help them, that You'll cause them to be strengthened to stand. Lord, we walk with You because You are faithful. And I pray for every person here under the sound of my voice. If you're here and you'd say this to me, Pastor, if I died right now, I don't know what would happen to me. Sir, ma'am, please listen to this. There is an eternity on the other side of this life. And Jesus came and He died on that cross to pay the debt that none of us could pay. He shed His blood to pay a debt and a burden and a price that I couldn't pay for my sin. And when He did so, He rose from the dead after they crucified Him. And He purchased your salvation and mine. And then He gives you and me the opportunity to either accept that gift or reject it. Jesus, the Bible calls Him the unspeakable gift. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here today, you'd say to me, Pastor John, would you pray for me? I don't know that if I died today where I'd spend my forever. Jesus said there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And He died so that men and women could have eternal life. All of us need a Savior. So if you've never received Him as the Savior of your life and you know, you believe He is the Son of God, died on that cross for your sin, buried, rose from the dead. You say, Pastor, I want to know. There's no religion won't make you right with God. Church won't make you right with God. Church sacraments won't make you right with God. There's salvation in no church, no pastor, no priest, only Jesus. Have you ever given your life to the One that's given His life for you? If you've not done that, I'll pray for you right where you're seated. Every head is bowed, every eyes closed. You're here today and say, Pastor, please pray for me. Please include me in that prayer. I will pray for you right where you're seated. The whole church will pray the prayer out loud and together with you right where you're at. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, say, Pastor, please include me in that prayer and I'll pray for you. This is between you and God. I'm not going to single you out or embarrass you. But if you're here today and say, I want to know that I have eternal life, in a moment I'm going to ask you to do something as simple as raise your hand and then we're going to pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Say, Pastor, please include me in that prayer. Do it right now and we'll pray for you. Do it right now and we'll pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you. God bless you. Anyone else? Thank you. God bless you. Thank you so much. God bless you. Thank you. If you've not yet raised your hand, these lights are bright, so help me. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Just raise it high so I can see it. Eternity is so long to be in the wrong place. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you. God bless you. You can put your hand back down. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Anyone else? Say, Pastor, I've not yet raised my hand, but include me with those that have, I want to invite Christ in my heart. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Right where you're seated, just lift your hand one last moment if you've not yet done so. Thank you, ma'am. God bless you so much. Thank you, sir. God bless you. If you raise your hand, or you should have, pray this out loud where you hear it with your very own ears. Jesus will come into your heart. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. At the end of the service, stick around till the end, because when Pastor Steve dismisses us, he's going to have some stuff we want to give you and direction we want to give you to help you in that decision to follow Jesus. But if you raise your hand or should have, pray this out loud and we'll all pray it together with you as you invite Christ in your heart. Pray it out loud where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, I come before you in Jesus' name. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear my sin debt. He was buried. He rose from the dead to purchase my soul. So I open my life to you today. In Jesus, I receive you now to be my Savior and to be my Lord. Thank you for coming. I am now a child of God. I am now heaven bound. And I boldly confess that Jesus is the Lord of my life. Amen. Would you give them a hand, please? God bless you. A couple more things, if you just be patient with us. A couple things I want to remind you of. Number one, if you do not have a Bible, and I encourage you, bring your Bible to church. Even though we put the scriptures up there, I want you to learn how to find them in the Bible. If you don't have a Bible, you can't afford one, we have one for you for free. Go to the information center, say, I need one of the Bibles. They'll give one to you. And it'll help you. And you can read this every day, put the Word in you. And we're so excited for what Jesus has done in your life. Then also this, remember Wednesday night we'll be ministering to the sick. And then next weekend, Marilyn Hickey will be here. She'll be here Saturday night, both Sunday morning services. So make sure you don't miss Marilyn Hickey. She is a phenomenal, world-renowned ministry, and you will enjoy her ministry immensely. So take a look at these announcements, and then Pastor...
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray you were blessed by God's Word. For additional teachings, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.